Okay, just a shorter time in the Word as we come to the end of our service this morning. We're doing a series which is inspired by a course by the charity Livability, which is trying to encourage mental health and well-being within God's family as well as in the wider community. And we are in our fourth session, which is looking at creating community. Last week we looked at richer relationships, thinking more about the quality of relationships in God's community. This week, the focus is on how the church community can work best to ensure that we are people for whom there is a maximum sense of well-being in God's church, in God's community. The key passage for this week that the small groups will look at and will be touched on tomorrow in daily devotions as well is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just going to read through a chunk of that passage and just comment a little bit on the way through. It says in verse 4 that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There's different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. So there's a focus here on when you ask the question, how does God's community work well in such a way that it is to the blessing of all of us, and also as we'll think about the wider community as well, for our well-being. God's concerned for our well-being, that we might have life, and life in its richness and fullness. And how the church functions, God thinks, is a critical part of our well-being. So he gives us instruction and guidance. And the first thing he wants us to realize here in this passage, 1 Corinthians 12, and there's a few different aspects to it, is that whilst there is, and he celebrates the fact that there is different gifting, so as we look around the room, God has gifted us hugely differently, various giftings. There's different types of service for the Lord. And there's also different ways of working. So part of the emphasis here is that in God's church, that the church experiences well-being and life in its fullness, that church ought to be a place where there is a variety of gifting being practiced and acknowledged, where there is a variety of ways in which we serve the Lord, and a variety of ways in which we work, different ways in which we work, because we're not all working the same way. But he wants to emphasize this, that whilst there's different gifting, there's one Spirit. Whilst there's different types of service, there is one and the same Lord. Whilst there's different ways of working, there is the same God at work. This body, when it functions really well, functions well under the headship of God himself. And that's a really important point. That in the family of God, we recognize that this body has a head. And that for all of us, every single one of us, we recognize the oneness of the same Lord, same Spirit, same Jesus, same Savior, same leader and guide and shepherd for all of us. And we want to live under his headship. And he distributes a huge variety of gifts. He is the Lord that we all serve in our service. He is the one who works through a whole bunch of different ways of working, means of working, styles of working. But we work for the same Lord. So we're part of a team under a clear team leader. And he guides us and leads us with the compassion of a father's love, with the purity of unconditional love, and with a desire that we might experience life in its fullness in a way that we can barely even touch or imagine, such as his goodness. And it's a privilege to serve in a community under a leader like that. He is an amazing God that we serve. It says in Ephesians 3, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." It says in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." So each of us is part of God's family, have been given gifts called to a work of service or works of service and have different ways of working for the purpose of the common good. What is that common good? We don't have to scrabble around and try and figure out what is this common good that we're supposed to be working for. It's not a democratic thing where we sort of decide, right, here's the common good of the church, this is the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church has been long established, and God's agenda is really clear, that he might be a blessing to his family, and that his family might be a blessing to the people that surround us and the nations. That's our calling. It's actually in some ways really clear and really simple. God wants to bless us, and he wants us to be a blessing to those around us. And God's expectation is that since he has gifted us all and calls us all to service and gives us everything we need for that service in a whole variety of different ways of working, his expectation is that we will all be involved in that service for the common good. The church, if you believe 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is simply not a spectator sport. It just isn't. The purpose of God's gifting is that it might be used for his service and for the blessing of his people and for those beyond the walls of the church, that we might all be involved. That is part of our responsibility to discern, along with others, how has God gifted? And sometimes that is discerned by experimentation. You just try different stuff. That's kind of how it worked for me. And slowly discovered over time, God seems to have gifted in these kind of ways. Sometimes it comes as people affirm your gifting. You seem to be gifted or blessed in this way. You seem to be good at being able to do that. You're able to relate to people in this kind of way. These areas of service might be worth you thinking about in getting your hands dirty, in being involved in the body of Christ and its service for the common good. So we're all expected to have a part to play because God has gifted us and prepared us that we might play our part. It's just simply not meant to be there for the sake of kind of personal satisfaction and enjoyment in a one-to-one relationship with God. And most of us get that. We're called into that kind of relationship as the church. Hillcliffe, like loads of other churches, Hillcliffe has a huge wide variety of ways in which we serve the Lord. It's really wide and varied. And we've just recently produced for our last church members meeting a kind of annual review, like we do every year, of our ministries. And it's sometimes only when you see it all put together on one booklet, and the booklet runs to about 16 pages, that you realize how much works of service actually do go on in a variety of different ways, which require different giftings and require callings to different service and require people to say, I don't really work like that, but I work like this. And the way in which I work means that I can get involved in different ways. And that's one of the ways in which God kind of calls us to just recognize what he is doing. And I guess the challenge for us is, as part of this local church family, can you be involved? If you're not involved at the moment, can you be involved? Well, I'd say, yeah, the answer is yes. How you could be involved, that needs to be discerned and discussed and all that kind of stuff. What I've done to help is that if you think perhaps there is scope to be involved or to be more involved in the service to the Lord through the family of God for the common good, I've just stuck up on the sign-up notice board and coffee, so that you have a coffee today. Just have a look. There's a little diagram that we can produce and update each year that just shows the variety of different broad areas of ministry and who kind of heads them up. So if you're interested in thinking, perhaps that's an area to explore, have a word with the person who's named there. That'd be a good place to start. Or if you don't know them, come and have a chat with Catherine and I and just say, I'd kind of like to get involved. There should and ought to be a place for all of us to serve our gifts. Another way, particularly in this local church here, is that sense of commitment to membership, because there's something actually really significant about what we do here that has to do with membership. And probably the most important thing is maybe not the thing that you might imagine at first. The most important thing dates back to its kind of history of churches like this way back, which has to do with the fact that the church is actually called together to together discern the mind of God for his people as we move forward step by step, day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. And when we've got significant decisions to make, and when we're trying to discern how the Spirit is leading us as a local church, the fundamental place that through our leadership, and there's various stages of that, but the fundamental place where we discern the mind of God and the Spirit of God is when we gather together as church members. Those guys who have said, I'm in, I'm committed, I want to be involved. And that's just another way to think about kind of involvement as it's relevant to the local church here. These works of service. It says in verse 12, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ, for we're all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And the Sunday evening services at 6 o'clock, we've been reading our way and studying and discussing our way through the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And one of the things that really strikes you in the early chapters of the book of the Acts is that as God starts to bring his church together, forming people who are both Jews and Greeks and Gentiles and Samaritans, it completely freaks the church out in the early days. They just cannot handle it. These people are too different religiously, too different socially, too different in terms of being different in every way from us. And we've grown up learning that we're not like them and they're not like us. And God is trying to put us together in such a way as to recognize that I see these people saved in Christ and baptized by the same Holy Spirit as part of the same family as you. And that's an incredible thing. And that's part of our privilege and calling as well, to be part of one body. Don's talked about house groups. We've got a number of house groups around the church. And whilst they are different and unique to each other, actually, it would be wrong for them, or any house group, or the men's fellowship, or whatever it is, to kind of see itself as being an entity in its own right, because they're actually part of the body of the family of Hillcliff. And that's the challenge, is to make all these disparate parts of a bunch of people in a community which numbers roughly about 200 or a bit more regular adults and kids, for it to feel like family. But you know what? That is our calling. It's a high calling. It's a high bar. We need to work at it really hard and find ways in which it works for us. But that's our calling. We're part of one family, brothers and sisters. Part of the family of God here at Hillcliff. It's a great thing to be involved in, but it's a really tough thing for us to do well, such that the well-being of God's people is served well and the well-being of the community beyond is reached with blessing. But let's strive for that, right? Let's strive for that. There's no point in just kind of being loosely involved in God's call and commission to us is to really go for it and to make the best fist of being a family that we possibly can. And that does involve commitment. That does involve involvement. That does involve hard work. That does involve the common good as we give our gifts, as we give our service, as we give our works to the common good of the blessing of the family of God and the people who are beyond these walls. It will be to our well-being. It will be to the well-being of those beyond. We are a local church called to be one in Christ. It says in 15, now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. I mean, God, the Holy Spirit is calling us to recognize, I think, two things here. One is that it's possible to actually be part of a body, but not to embrace it and not to enjoy it. Because you're constantly looking around thinking, I'm not like them. I don't have their gifting. I'm not involved in that kind of service. I'm not really part of this. And so we can believe the lie that because of comparison, that I'm not part of something that actually God has made me a part. And those who are saved by Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, are a part of his church, the same way that all the rest of us are. And he calls us to enjoy and embrace the reality that we are God's children. Equally members of his family, called to play a part. Set aside the lies that I am not important and that I am not needed. That's a lie. You are important and you are needed in the family of God. And it's a lie to believe otherwise, right? God has gifted you with purpose. God calls you with purpose. God seeks you to be involved for purpose. And you have a part to play, which is just as important and vital as anyone else's. The eye, on the other hand, cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The hand can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are actually indispensable. That's the word of God. Set aside the lie of pride. These are the things that are really important in a church family. And the other stuff, surely we can do well without that. And those people aren't really quite so important. And the Lord says, I want you to purposefully honour those people and those roles and those responsibilities that might easily be overlooked because I reckon they're indispensable. And so should you. That's a good thing. It says in 17, to summarise, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, pretty grotesque really, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. You are gifted by design. You are called to serve the Lord by design. You're called to be part of a body by design because there's a significant part for you to play. And the Lord calls us into his ministry in that way. Verse 24 says, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. He just calls us to take care that we concern ourselves for each other, and especially, a word to all of us, especially those people in the family that we are most likely to overlook or not show concern to. He just reminds us, don't forget, I'm kind of trying to specially remind you to show concern if you're likely to overlook concern in that way. And his word here is that when one part of our body suffers, we should all suffer. So someone's ill, someone is diagnosed with a serious issue, someone's going through a real trouble. We get round, we get behind, we pray for, as we know, as we get to know. When we celebrate birthdays, good things, visa applications being granted, we celebrate together because we're part of the same family. We often say as the kids head out on Sunday mornings, we pray for these young people and children because they are our children, the children of our family here, that we care for and love as though they were our own, which they are spiritually in the Lord. And so in verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. That is God's ideal for well-being in his family. And actually, we will all benefit if we all give in that kind of way. Does that make sense? It's easy to hold back. We did this small group study with the high school Bible study on Friday night. And just one of the things we asked them to look at was this statement here, which is, in an increasingly dislocated and lonely world, the community of the church should be a place where people experience God's love in a loving family. So perhaps even as the world feels lonelier, the church should shine brighter as a place where we all can experience the love of God in the context of a loving family. And we asked the guys who are only kind of like in their teens, early teens, some of them, what has helped you in feeling like you're part of the family at Hillcliff? Perhaps can you remember when you first came here, or stuff that's been helpful along the way? And some of the stuff the guy said, just straightforward stuff, some of it, just saying things like, what really helped was people being friendly to me. This might sound like it's really obvious, and in some ways it really is. But it's just to help us remind ourselves that in our church family, there are always people, every Sunday, every week, who are new or are on the edge or are in need of encouragement. And actually, that's true for most of us, right? Each week. People being friendly to me. People introducing me to their friends. That's really important. Okay? So at coffee time, most of us just normally hang out with the people we already know, that we're really friendly with. But one of the really helpful things is not only to be friendly to other people, but to help other people by introducing them to your friends so they can get to know a bunch of people. They said that they had, there was groups and events that we could be part of, particularly through youth work. A few of them said the bring and share lunches. Hanging out on the field together. And then some of the guys just said perseverance. Just keep going. As I was kind of a bit wobbly and a bit shaky, people who just kept going, who just kept persevering with friendship with me. And then there was one little story which involved our Helena, which I didn't know about. And Olivia and, as is Olivia Booth, and Helena were telling a story of when Helena first came to the church here, would have been 6 years ago. And after the church, in the first week or two that we were here, after the church, there was music being played, and it was quite noisy in here. And there was folks sort of jumping around and stuff, and some of the older teenagers were larking around, messing around. And Olivia noticed that Helena was sitting by herself, and she wasn't, she was upset. She was kind of crying, I think she said. And she went over to her and she said, why are you upset, Helena? And Helena said, oh, I want to dance, but nobody will dance with me. So Olivia said, well, I'll dance with you. And that's just a little moment which helps us to recognize that we kind of all need slightly different things. And we've got different things that will make us feel like we belong, like we're loved. And for some people, they will need someone to dance with them. And as adults, we're all really different. And God just calls us to get alongside folks. And for those who are dancers, are we human or are we dancers? For those who are dancers, embrace who they are. And reach out to them and try to engage with them and speak with them in the way that will make them feel like they belong as part of God's family. And we're all really different. But there's a real strong calling on our lives to reach out and to connect, to be real, not to be something we're not, and to recognize that we are God's children and we're each gifted wonderfully and beautifully to play a part in God's family. And when we do, we will all experience the blessing and the benefit of that. And God's call to us is to love it, embrace it, and go for it in Jesus' name. Amen? Okay. Catherine, would you pray? And the guys will lead in worship. But I think once you lead in worship, we'll go and pick up the kids from the children's ministries. Thank you.
once I've prayed, it's over. Oh, I almost made a very bad joke about myself then, about the fat lady singing, but that's so bad. I just can't keep my mouth shut. Okay, so thank you, Lord, that I don't need to keep my mouth shut in praise. And it's really good to praise and to be together. Stuart tells a horror story. Keep your eyes closed. But Stuart tells this horror story of when he was at school. It wouldn't happen nowadays. I promise you. I hope not anyway. Of boys changing rooms in PE. And like the showers in after PE. And they're all showering. Then a female PE teacher comes in and says, right, keep your eyes closed, I'm coming through. And so they all close their eyes, even though they're the ones that are naked and she's the one that's got her clothes on. And I'm telling you to keep your eyes closed because I think it'd be really good if right now, I'm going to close my eyes as well, so you don't need to worry about me either, that you just say to God, honestly, by putting your hand up, Lord, I know that this has spoken to me today. It's spoken to me about longing for giftedness to be released in me. So just put your hand up if you recognise that. And I promise you I've got my eyes closed. I'm not doing the PE teacher thing. Lord, there is giftedness in me. You've given me gifts that I just long to be released. And I know, Lord, that that there are things that are keeping me back. Insecurity, maybe wrong thoughts about myself, feeling like I don't know whether I fit in. But Lord, I'm just putting my hand up and saying, I want those gifts that you've given me to be released. And Lord, I want to use them in your church. I want to bless my brothers and sisters with what you've given me.